Welcome to another episode of The Professor and the Princess. We're your co-hosts. This is Randy.
Hello.
Hello. And I'm Henri. And we're here to flip stereotypes. That's what we do. And I would say we do very well, I think.
Yes.
Anyway, we also disrupt societal norms.
Yes.
And we're all about focusing on folks being open-minded. And as open-minded as possible, right?
Yes.
And we do this one conversation at a time. What I love about it is that we get to tackle a variety of different topics across the board, right?
I keep saying yes.
But you say it the right way. You don't say it like it's like, I'm not going to say that P word. Anyway, today's episode, we are talking about cultural pride. And to start this conversation off with everything terrible that's been happening in the Middle East, right?
Yeah.
We were looking at different angles of the experience. We don't have to bore people with the details of what's happening because we're all in it. But we were talking about this whole idea of kind of what's missing or what's happening in experience. And Randy, you and I started talking about the whole idea that, we were talking about the fact that as a Black person, I can't hide from the negativity in the world and the hate.
Right.
Right. But as a Jewish woman, right, you kind of can fold into the white experience.
Yes.
However, there's a missing opportunity or missed opportunity for Jewish folks to have and show more pride.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's been a very tumultuous few months. And this is how I can describe it to you for white people in a way that you might understand, but I don't know. I'm a white person, but I'm not. Mm. I look white when I walk into a room, so people won't judge me the way they would judge Henri because he can't leave his skin at home.
I try to.
No, you don't.
I
don't.
I love this black skin. Carry on.
So do I. Yes. And so I become privy to some of the anti-everything sentiments that are out there. People are not afraid to speak against others in front of me because they consider me to be one of, you know, them until they know that I'm not. And the fact that there are many, many Jewish people in the U.S., I can only speak to here, who are not only not embracing their culture, but outwardly hiding it, you know, taking their necklaces off, taking their mezuzahs down from their door, not lighting their menorahs for Hanukkah. Like, that to me is just awful. And I don't want to judge them. But what I would say is, it's sad that you live in a time where you're actually afraid to be who you are. Anti-Semitic crimes have gone up 360% since October 7th.
Crazy.
In the U.S. 300, and it was already super high before. Just to give you just a basic level setting fact, 0.2% of the population on this planet is Jewish.
One thing I said to you, Randy, when we were having these conversations was, you know, what we find are the stereotypes, right? Is that Jewish people run the industry, meaning the entertainment industry,
the banks,
right? Your Jewish people run the world and the money, right? And then having these conversations about the percentage of Jewish people, specifically in America, like, it's out of control. Like, those were lessons to me and just learnings that I didn't know because I just personally was stuck in the stereotypes, right? And also just hearing about Jewish families. I've dated a Jewish guy before, and I found their family to be very, very tight-knit. And they did very well for themselves in many different ways by owning businesses and starting from what the rappers like to say, starting from the bottom, and now we're here. So it was kind of one of those moments.
Right.
But having these conversations, this is what was uncovered for someone like myself who was ignorant about the, you know, the number of Jewish people in America. And then also some of the history behind what's happening in the world right now. But the thing that really, like, you want to add something there, and please do, and I want to go into that whole idea of pride.
Yeah. I just want to clarify it. It's 0.2 in the world.
Oh, my God.
I think in America, it's like 2%. Okay. But it's still very low. And I also want to add that 22% of all Nobel Prize winners are Jewish. So there's a disproportionate amount of Jewish people that are, that have been in the spotlight in one way or the other, whether it's through entertainment, a lot of comedians, actors, directors, writers, people in, you know, industries that are visible, right?
Right.
But, you know, it's hard to say, show your pride, because I understand that fear. Mm-hmm. You know, I know someone who was attacked and had a necklace ripped off her neck because she was wearing a Jewish star.
Right.
So it's real. And I don't judge people, as I said before, for being afraid, but I implore them to rise above it, because it's that complacency and that shrinking back that leads to things like what started out the same way in the 1930s in Germany. And we don't want that to happen again. So we have to be more vigilant. We have to be stronger, and we have to be more prideful. We have to.
Yeah. It's one of those things. And, you know, like I was telling you, and I'm sure that folks who are listening to this episode would think about or talk about or just see the fact that, you know, the challenge that I have as a Black queer man in the world, being rejected by Black folks for being queer and being rejected by white folks for being Black, it has been a battle, but it's become a very normal thing for me, right? I was raised in a community where there was a lot of pride in being Black, right? So when I heard stories about racism and discrimination, how Black people were treated, it was more on television than it was in our neighborhoods. So, you know, you have a choice. You can kind of fall into that whole space of being victim, although we are victims in many ways, in the truth. And at the same time, being able to celebrate just who we are as folks too. And that's a consistent or constant, I should say, in the experience that I'm never, I mean, I did have one time recently during the pandemic where I started to rethink my Blackness, right? Mm-hmm. And because I said to myself, I was like, there's so many, I'm forced to sit on the couch. I'm seeing all these awful things happening to Black people, right? Because there were Black men and Black women being killed.
Yep.
And then I said, well, are we not worthy? Right. Know, and it's the first time ever in my life that I had posed that question.
Right.
Before, it was all about if there was any kind of racism or discrimination, I would be like, oh, fuck that. I'm going to show people that we're more than what you say we are.
Right, right.
And I've had to do that for both sides of just who I am, or two sides of who I am. So when we started having conversations about Jewish people being able to, or falling into the mix of just all white people, right? Mm-hmm. Until, like you said, there's a reveal, or in this case, you know, necklaces, you star David, I have a star David myself, being snatched off of a friend's neck. So in myself too, like I wore my star David outside that I got from my ex-Jewish boyfriend's mom.
Right.
And these guys, I don't know where they're from, you know, their ethnicity, but they looked at me like I was crazy. I think I called you like, what the fuck is this? This is crazy, you know?
And to just flip that for a moment, I think it goes both ways in the sense that my interactions with Black people, men and women, really didn't start intensely until after I got out of college. And I started working in entertainment. And that was really the first real diverse environment I was in. And the conversations and the experiences and the interactions that I've had over those last 30 years have completely made me who I am today in terms of that acceptance and that love and that open-mindedness. And so the way I look at this, and it's very, you know, Pollyanna-esque, but I have to believe this is possible, is that just those conversations, if more people started to have them, we would realize that it's not black and white. It's just me and you. And that if you cut me, and it's so cliche, but I'm going to bleed red and so are you.
Maybe.
Well, you might not.
Well, I don't want to say blue blood because I don't have any blue blood. Bull crap.
But it just, it really breaks my heart that the majority of people that are out there, not the people that we associate with necessarily, but the majority of the people out there don't want to expand outside of their culture, their race, their religion, their ethnic group, because there's such a richness and there's so much to learn in other cultures. Why wouldn't you want to? I already know what I need to know about my culture. What about yours? And I don't understand that fear or that resistance. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
You know, and I feel you on that too. And I can understand that piece. I think it becomes this whole idea in my mind about protecting culture, right?
Right.
From a Black perspective, that whole idea of sharing culture is because so much of the things that Black folks have contributed to the world has been appropriated in so many different ways, and the lack of credit, you know, so we're all, it's complex, right? Because it's that whole idea of protecting it, but also in tandem, making sure that you're celebrating your culture. And that's mm-hmm. one thing that came up in our conversations, yep. right? I remember saying to you, and you brought it up to me the other day, is that when I had an interesting reaction when you said, when I saw in your face and in your body and your energy, how affected you were by what was going on in the Middle East and what's happening in the Middle East mm-hmm. in the beginning. And my response to you after talking for a bit was this whole idea of welcome to the club, mm-hmm. right? Because that's exactly how I felt.
Yep.
I walk around with that fear, not always, but I'm definitely reminded that
yep.
I'm disliked by a few different folks. And what I was saying in that situation, the sentiment there was, I hate that you have to go through this mm-hmm. and you have to feel these feelings,
yep.
but that you are in my world right yes. now. And let's talk about how you can live in the most healthiest way through it. Or right. what are those things we need to do to shift things for people to feel better about who they are? So they don't have to tuck their Star David in their shirt. Or be, you know,
yeah.
not prideful.
Yeah. No, I think it's real. It gave me a different viewpoint. You know, it's impossible to know what somebody else feels.
Absolutely.
Living
Absolutely.
In their own skin, right?
So true.
Whatever that is. But I do think you and I are both, what we have in common in that regard is our pride in who we are and our determination to not let others make us feel bad about who we are.
There it is.
And I won't let somebody, and I know you're the same, you can't put me into a box. Don't tell me this is how you are, this is how you should be because you are a Jewish woman of a certain age and a certain this. What I've learned is every single one of us is different. As a Jewish woman, my Jewish experience is different than every other Jewish person right,
exactly.
on the planet. Because
exactly.
how I feel about it is different than my best friend, my sister, my daughter, blah, 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 right? Same with you. How you show up as a Black man is
very different.
Different than every other person of color, right?
It's the truth. It's very individual.
So don't put me in a box because I won't stay there.
Yeah. And I think the thing about it too is that people normally put folks in boxes because they're either controlling mm-hmm. or they've been taught that people stereotypes, mm-hmm. right? Let's go back to it. But it's this whole idea of us as individuals, like stepping outside of that experience.
Right.
I love the fact that you said this about us not living in boxes because mm-hmm. we just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the beauty of who we are.
Yep.
And one thing I have to say to you, coming back to this topic, is that I've seen a lot more, and it's been a short period of time, of you celebrating your culture
mm-hmm.
and living it in a very rich way,
yeah.
right? And owning it. And I think that's a very important part of the experience because we should.
And I'll say this. When you feel something is threatened, it becomes more valuable.
Protect it. That's right.
So up until October 7th, I was like, yeah, whatever. Not that I didn't care, but it was just one part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
After October 7th, I saw the world through very different eyes.
Exactly.
Whether it was in choosing who I wanted to date, in lighting candles every Friday night, which I hadn't done since I was in my teenage years,
mm-hmm.
in spending more time at my synagogue, like embracing who I am, because now it felt like it wasn't necessarily always going to be there.
Right, right.
For me to go to. So
there's a level of appreciation, a higher level of appreciation.
And also, you want to be around other people who understand
mm-hmm.
what you're going through.
Certainly.
Because when my non-Jewish friends would talk to me, they just didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they would ask me, like, do you have relatives there? And I'm like, yeah, 8 million of them.
Mm.
They didn't understand. And it was frustrating. And so I needed to be, this is the flip side of what we're talking about. We want to be open-minded and embrace everyone.
Right.
But in this instance, I needed to be around people who I didn't need to explain myself to, who I didn't need to explain how I was feeling to.
That's a part of pride, right?
Yes.
Being empowered and being connected and inspired by our people, that's an important part of the experience. And then when we step outside of those environments with our folks, that we have that same level of pride. Now, this is about who we are as folks and yes. celebrating that, right?
Yeah.
Because I think that pride is important in how we show up and how we communicate and connect with folks, but also how we feel about ourselves.
Yes.
I think it's a very big, important part of the experience. And yeah. I think it's a part of the healing, you know, as we move forward.
Yes. And I think, you know, as our different situations that we're seeing happening all over the world evolve, and I think as we get into an election year in the U.S., I think we're going to see a lot more polarizing viewpoints, a lot of hate, I don't want to believe this, but I think there's going to be violence. I think there's going to be a lot of emotion, a lot of things happening that are not going to be great. And I think that's where you and I really need to lean into this idea of go to the light, not the darkness, right?
Exactly.
And just stay the course. And I think that we will. And we're going to try to bring our people with us to have that.
And we will, you know, going back to Michelle Obama saying when, you know, they go low, we go high.
Right.
What I think about is the journey and how we can go high, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's a process in going from the low to the high. Mm-hmm. And this is our platform to do that, to make sure that we're, like you said, making sure that the light is shining.
Right. And I think that's a really good place for
you
us
know
to
it.
Take
I see it
to take our pause and sign off for this episode.
Right.
Thank you all for being with us. We look forward to seeing you in our next episode. Please follow us, like us, share us, subscribe to us. We are the Professor and the Princess at gmail.com. The Professor and the Princess is our Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube handle. Find us.
You're so consistent.
Love us. Review us.
Share us.
Let us know what you want to hear about, because we're totally open to like whatever topics you want. We may not be experts, but we'll certainly give it a shot. So thank you. We'll see you next time. Au revoir.
Au revoir, guys.